We've hit high noon, halfway point of the show. Darren, Donick, and Chase, we're here at Barrel House today, hanging out. Predators going through what they call the Gladiators. Meanwhile, we discuss heavily last night's loss by the Titans in Jacksonville. And in just a few moments, we'll send you over to their practice facility, and we'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, the day after. Had a chance to regroup, reflect a little bit, hear what he has to say. So, speaking of press conferences today, Bill Belichick walked out on his after getting peppered with some Antonio Brown questions. Started off with the answer of, he's on our roster. Of course, in light of a new story, Sports Illustrated story. So, another comical Bill Belichick press conference. Now, with the theme of press conferences, let's send it over and hear from Mike Vrabel.
Hey, Teresa.
Mike, coming off of two losses in 5 days, what do you look at trying to fix or improve first?
Well, I think the accountability and the fundamentals is something that we really have to focus on today, over the weekend, especially on Monday with the extra day of practice. I think that that's what the message is going to be to the team, is that we have to take accountability for our choices, our actions, coaching and playing, and then we have to improve our fundamentals and use Monday as a day to really concentrate on that.
Disappointing that you have to maybe deal with some of that 3 weeks into the season?
No. I mean, that's part of being a coach. I mean, that's part of being somebody that has to lead any organization or any team, is that you face different challenges, you face different situations, you face things every day that you have to try to get people moving in the right direction. And that's what we're going to do. We put ourselves in this position, and 3 games into the season, we're going to do everything we can to get to 2-2.
When it comes to trying to help out an offensive lineman, like Chip or whatever, is it more difficult to do that with an inside guy as opposed to a tackle?
There's different ways to help different guys along parts of the offense. And, whether that's a receiver that's being doubled and then that you have to try to create, some sort of route concept to help him, or an interior lineman, you can slide the line, you can move pieces around. You only have 11 guys. But I think that you have to be able to mix things up and figure out where the matchups are in this league, and understand who you have to help and how you have to try to go about doing it, and still be sound in what play you're trying to run.
You don't want to go over all 9 of them, but how many of the sacks guys just got beat? How many maybe didn't have communication issues down pat, technique issues bad?
I think that that's that's all part of it. Not to run down, every single sack. But when we put ourselves in a position to drop back and throw the football as many times as we had to, based on the how the game was being played and where we were being down, they're going to blitz you. They blitzed us. They made a decision that they were going to blitz us. They were going to at times take a safety out of the middle of the field and bring pressure, a lot of it. And so I thought there were times where we picked it up. I thought there were times where we converted on third down. There was a trust. All-out blitz. We throw the ball before Delaney gets to the sticks. He turns around, makes a huge play. We get into a check against all-out pressure. Throw it to Corey, decisive route, decisive throw. And they deemed that we – didn't line up correctly. But there are times where, guys are, in matchups where we didn't win, and there were times where, we can throw it away. That's how it is every week. If you take a sack, there's usually one of those few things that are going on.
How much do you think that a lack of open receivers is playing a part in the sacks or, separation?
Well, I think it always plays a part. I think that you have to be able to protect. You have to be able to get open and deliver the football. There's times where there's guys are open. There's times where guys aren't open. There's times where there's breakdown in protection. And there's times where, we got to get rid of the football. So there's always a lot of factors that go into it. And, I know that everybody would like to pin it all on one or two people, but that's not the case, and it's not going to be what happens here.
Getting behind the chains has been a big problem through three games. What needs to change in order to not get yourself into third and 15, third and 20 so often?
Stay efficient. Again, try to repeat what we did last week. Talked about that the penalties have really been, in last night's game, something that contributed to that. Second and 20 is a difficult place to be. We got into some runs. We were able to run the football. And then for whatever reason, penalties or a tackle for loss, then you're back in those situations. So that's certainly not where you want to play the football game against a good defensive team, is in third and long.
Davis caught up a little bit, and is he going to be in a position where he could maybe compete for playing time or potentially a starting spot?
Well, I think Nate continues to improve and try to make up on the ground that he wasn't able to take advantage of in training camp, and he's certainly somebody that we have to start to look to work in there.
And now that you've gotten some time to sit back and watch the tape and reflect, what did you think of your quarterback's effort last night?
Well, I thought there were times where he competed. He competed, took some shots, was able to throw the ball, deliver it, be decisive, and then there were times that, there were some plays that we'd all like to have back, at every position. But, I know he hung in there and competed, scrambled it down to the one, threw some good balls, and then, we'll get him coached up on some things that we'd like to see improve.
With that balance, as far as the rotation, Deion Lewis, Derrick Henry, was it more get out of trouble situations that dictated Lewis playing more, or what was behind that?
I mean, we pretty much got into 2 minute in the fourth quarter, based on the score, how the game was being played. That's really about all it was. It was wanted to give Derek all his opportunities to impact the game. We feel like on first and second down that, either running the football or, working our play pass, working our screen game. And then Deion, we feel comfortable on third down and what he's doing in protection and getting out of the backfield. And that then when you go to 2 minute, strength is, right now.
Is this the remix?
Mike Vrabel,
I thought he was chewing on gum or something.
I know. I didn't know what was going on.
Maybe he was having lunch?
Thought that was the Milli Vanilli take that went bad there.
Oh, wow. Are you saying Coach Vrabel lip syncs his press conferences?
Oh, that was good. That was good, Willie. Did
you
good
just
call
him a lip syncer?
I just had a flashback to 1989 or 90. Or
blame it on the rain. Max, can you let us know if it's back?
Yeah, we got him back.
All right, let's go back.
Making sure that we all keep our composure.
Sorry.
I'm going to try to do that. Starts with me. Get an explanation. It's what they see. It's some of those holding calls are, we have nothing to complain about. If the guy breaks the framework of our body and we tug him, that's bad fundamentals, and those should be called. That's what it is. We have to improve on that. That's something that was a strength of our football team last year. We believe in it. We coach it. We try to play it. But then we can't let them affect us, and we have to try to move on and figure out where we're at in the next situation, whether that's a defensive penalty that moves the ball down or it's an offensive penalty that backs us up. The only thing we can do is keep our composure and move on to the next play and try to figure out how to fix it.
Speaking of the defensive penalties, what can Logan Ryan do differently on that pitch?
I don't think anything. I don't think he can't do anything. Sure, they give us 10. Okay. Full disclosure, they give you 10. And they share, and we get 10 responses, and we get 10 responses, and the other team gets up to 10. We get the other teams, what they respond to the other team as well. That's something that's new this year that had been talked about in previous meetings and owners meetings brought up by Bruce Allen in Washington because we try to use those things to teach our players. And to help our players and say, hey, this is what they saw. They might not have called it this time, but this is what they're looking for. So that's how the process works. We turn them in, and they're answered in which the order they receive. Sometimes we get them back quicker than other weeks, and we try to, you know, have communications with the league, with Al, with what they're instructing the officials to do.
Do you go 10 every week? Or
no, not every week. No.
You get to 10 in this one?
I think we got to 10, yeah.
Mike, you've had two-minute situations at end of games, last two games now. Do they need to be moving faster and executing, getting to the line and moving with a little bit more speed?
Well, the first two-minute one was at the end of half, and I felt very comfortable with where we were, 44-yard line. Two timeouts, thought we had a chance to double them up and get some points without having them touch the ball. That didn't happen. And then I think that as the pace of play, I think we can always be faster. Our urgency and normal down and distances in two-minute, we always want to work with a pace and with an urgency with what we're doing. And be an efficient. You know, I think that if you're able to, you know, move the ball efficiently, you know, you don't have to maybe, you know, be as fast. And you know, when guys are downfield and then there's a 5 or 6 yard route, it makes it a little difficult to go as fast as you'd like.
Would you consider the punt return situation still week to week between Adoree and Adam?
Well, I think the punt return, everything is week to week. You know, everything is, we have to do everything we can to get the 2-2. So whether it be the punt return, the offense, the defense, everything's week to week.
That second punt return for Adoree last night, did he need to make that fair catch?
We need to try to catch all, we try to save as many yards as we possibly can. In all phases of the game, those hidden yardage we talk about every week is critical. Trying to catch the punch, trying to make great decisions to help us to save yardage.
You said that every situation is week to week. Is the quarterback a part of that, or is that even worth talking about at this point?
I don't think that's something that we're looking at right now, but it's always something that we consider every week. But not right now. I think that, again, trying to emphasize the really good throws, the really good production. We got some play pass production. But then again, there was just some plays that we'd like to have back in our run game, in our throw game, our defense. You know, we gave up 4 plays for 167 yards and then 50 for, 120. So playing 50 snaps really well and playing 4 not good enough.
You evaluate Malcolm today. He gave up some plays. It seemed like he was physical, made some tackles.
Competed. Listen, he's on body. He's not looking back for the ball. He's not, he's competing. He's, good tackle on Fournette. Stayed up, something that we talked about, not diving, staying up, making a good tackle and competing on those 50-50 balls. And, just love his effort, his competitiveness. And, again, maybe some things that we can clean up down the field as far as, trying to go disrupt the ball as opposed to maybe trying to go for an interception. But I just love the way Malcolm competes. I know you're fighting for a question back there.
Last, I appreciate that. Last night you said, I think there's a lot of guys that fought and competed after the game. We'll have to find out if everybody was doing that. Judging by the score, probably not. Did you see evidence of that when you went back and watched the film?
Yeah, I felt like there are some guys that really did, compete. And I'm not anyone to single anybody out. I think that we'll address those, as they come up here through the next couple of days. Every week we can't determine or predict how the games are going to go. We just tell the defense, wherever you have to play defense at, that's where you have to go play defense. And if it's on the 7-yard line, it's on the 7-yard line. And at that point in time, you have to try to force them to kick a field goal. Offense, if we have to go 90 yards, we got to go 90 yards. And do we want to play a game down 14-0 in the first quarter? No. But, that's where we were last night, and we have to realize that it's not always going to be perfect, that we're going to have given them enough foundation and fundamentals to go play and to have some rules to with what we're doing. and get them a call and make sure that it's decisive and that the players have enough opportunity, enough time to go out there and sort things out. Because once you make the call, you know, we have to make sure that 11 guys on the field are all on the same page.
In those tough times, some locker rooms you have the finger pointing. What is it about this locker room and you that will keep that from happening here?
Well, I'm very confident, you know, in that what we're going to take this weekend to, you know, to not point any fingers and try to pull the thumb and understand that it starts with me. It starts with our coaching staff, our players, and believing in each other, that there's evidence of good football. There's evidence of really good football. And then we just clean up the little things and understand that it's not one person. It's never going to be about one guy, and it's going to be about the team. But we have great leadership here, guys that have played in a lot of football games and competed, and trust in our leadership and trust in the process.
Is it tough to keep that challenging a player or one player challenging another from becoming a finger-pointing situation?
Well, I mean, I hope that there's enough trust in everybody here, which is something that we try to work on in the offseason. That if you hold guys accountable, you know, that nobody's taking anything personally. But, you know, I think that everybody that does that if you hold people accountable, you know, you got to make sure that you're doing everything that you need to be doing before we start holding guys accountable.
How do you find a balance as a coach of when maybe to let off steam and when to maybe just be calm and measured and not get worked up over things when you address them?
Well, I mean, I think that you just you try to talk to him, you try to coach him, you try to teach him. I think that's based on the different individuals, the different guys, and how they respond and your relationship with them and what they feel like they need and what I feel like they need. You know, some guys, you know, they want that. They need that little extra, you know, nudge. But, you know, we're going to go in there. We're going to coach. We're talking to them right now. They're meeting right now. We'll go back in. I'll meet with them. We'll give them the weekend off to heal up and find a way and do everything we can to get to 2-2.
When you get a week like this with maybe a little extra planning time, practice time, is it easier to adjust the lineup at all, you know, whether that be a Nate Davis or anything else?
Well, I think it just gives you time to do a lot of different things, whether that's, you know, focus on the fundamentals, focus on specifics, focus on details, make changes in lineups, move guys in, around, different spots. What I mean, you just have more time to do a little bit of everything. But I think the most important thing is that we, you know, get healthy and focus on who can do what and what each guy's strengths are and what they you know, really are comfortable doing and will do for us. And then just keep plugging along.
Mike, Sunday you had a 4th-and-1 punted. You went for it on 4th-and-6 last night. Is that more the situation, chart, numbers, or gut? And how much of it might be you still kind of growing into head coaching?
I don't know really how to respond to that other than I told the team that for us to win the football game at halftime last night, we were going to play the guys that were the most aggressive and we were going to be aggressive in our mindset. That's as far as we had gotten down there. We had moved the ball and I felt really good on, you know, going forward to that situation. Not going to revisit Indianapolis and, you know, go through the decision there. I touched on that last week. This week was another opportunity to score a touchdown and be aggressive with where we were coming out of halftime and the message that I had tried to deliver to the football team.
Encouraged by the, like last night was really the first time Mariota Humphreys had really connected for a lot of production. Did you see something there that, you know, maybe you hadn't in the first?
Yeah, you know, Humph ran some good routes and Marcus was able to find them and, you know, again, just not enough. I mean, just not enough of just the consistency that's required against a, you know, a good defensive football team.
How's Rashawn Evans doing and any other injuries from the game?
You know, I felt like Rashawn played really hard. He played fast. And sometimes when you do that, you get banged up a little bit. But I'm confident that he'll be okay.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Comment on some things you just heard right here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Really, how to respond to that other than I told the team that for us to win the football game at halftime last night, we were going to play the guys that were the most aggressive, and we were going to be aggressive in our mindset. That's as far as we had gotten down there. We had moved the ball, and I felt really good on, you know, going forward to that situation. Not going to revisit Indianapolis and, you know, go through the decision there. I touched on that last week. This week was another opportunity to score a touchdown and be aggressive with where we were coming out of halftime and the message that I had tried to deliver to the football team.
There you go. Some of head coach Mike Vrabel's comments today following the 20-7 loss down in Jacksonville. Willie, what stood out to you?
Well, that clip right there, I think that's – I was a little disappointed to hear him the day after not go back and revisit it. It's fine to have that mindset. I love the mindset of guys were going to go out and be aggressive. You know, I'm going to play the guys that are most aggressive. That is different than going for it on 4th and 6 from the Jacksonville 11 down by 14 in that situation. I think what the process in your mind, when you don't get it on 3rd and 6, and it was frustrating, right? Because on 2nd and 6, you've got a guy wide open in the end zone. Delanie Walker's wide open. Guy makes a really good play to tip the ball. I mean, he reaches way up there, Keith Bullock style, and deflects it. I don't know if you could put that on Mariota. And then on 3rd down, Mariota underthrows it a little bit. He's got a guy right in his face, and the guy makes another pretty good play on the ball. If he maybe leads them a little more. Maybe so it's you're ticked. You're frustrated. Got to be aggressive. But then that signal's got to go off in your head as the head coach, hey, wait a minute. Let's look at this logically, practically. Let's play the percentages here. I'm ticked off I didn't get a touchdown out of this drive. But I got to take 3. I got to take 3. There's got to be the voice of reason that goes off in your head there where aggression turns into, okay, know when to be aggressive and know when the aggression needs to be held off. Like, on the bases, I wanted to be aggressive, but I also have to know when I can't go from 1st to 3rd on a base hit to left field. I know I got to know when I'm not fast enough to steal bases, right? Aggressive is good, but there's got to be controlled aggression.
I think what was disappointing is last year we had these discussions, and I said, if you remember, my words were, it was cute at first, go for it, you know, new coach, rookie coach, go for it, setting the tone with his team. I trust you, I believe. I said it was cute at first. It wasn't cute later in the season. It wasn't cute in London. And I was willing to even give the pass of first year, first time, okay. But you've had an entire offseason. You had 16 games of a regular season last year. And a lot of time in the offseason to kind of figure some things out and maybe make some changes. I think what I've been very consistent of, dude, you got to get out of player mode. Okay?
Yeah.
You're not a player anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
I get it. You're intense and you're out there with the pads and you're doing practice.
Player, yeah.
Okay, I get it. It's fine. Mike, you're not a coach. You're not a player anymore. You're a coach. You are the head coach. You're not the defensive line coach. You're not a linebackers coach. You're not a DC. You are the head coach. You are running the show. And to me, it's like, here we go again. It's like game 3. Get out of player mode. You're not a player anymore. You can do that out on the field in practice. If you want to suit up with the pads and let them hit you and push you around and you have a boxing glove and try to knock the ball out of Derrick Henry, okay, that's fine. But when it comes to Sundays or Thursdays and whenever you're playing a game that counts, you are the head coach. And to me, it's like, come on. At this point now, you've got to get out of player mode.
And that's why I was hoping he would sort of take, hey, everybody's got to be better. I got to be better. Maybe I got carried away there. 4th and 6, I got to look at percentages of all teams and all situations. What's the percentage of picking up a 1st down, 4th and 6? But
short
especially
field,
with your offense against their
field,
defense, short field.
Percentages are way low.
Down. They're down.
Way low.
And so the other thing that jumped out at me is when Teron asked him about what could Logan Ryan have done differently on that pass interference, and he said nothing. I would love to have heard the follow-up. Well, then, did you consider
challenging?
Because that is, if there's ever one to challenge, that's the challenge. It's not always going to be so blatant like the one in the NFC Championship game, but that's one where you got to challenge that. I if that's your answer, then challenge it. Test the system on that. So these are things that I, you know, did that win or lose in the game? No, but these are things I'd like to see him, like you said, grow out of that. I was the player. I've been the assistant coach to the head coach. Has got to make the tough decisions, the precise decisions.
Snap decisions.
Yeah.
And he struggles at that. The thing that you see a lot of GMs, you know, get a young head coach to do is they hire a former head coach on their staff, and he doesn't have that. Now, Dean Pease has been around for a long time as a coordinator, so he has experience, but not as the head guy. And you can tell that he just doesn't have somebody to lean on to give him that type of advice. Now, the pass interference thing, that's new.
And I don't know the answer. I'm just asking.
Would he take
it? Do we believe he would take that direction? Or
I don't
does
know.
He want this to be his show and run it his way and, hey, this is what I'm doing and I'm still – I don't know the answer. I'm asking.
I don't either.
Would he listen to that?
But the way he's coaching like a player.
With a lot of positives. There's a lot of positives with that.
There are a lot of positives.
I like what he does in a lot of areas there. But this is the one area where I think this is the game management.
Bingo.
Getting a little
you
too carried
away. You
can't
the game as a player.
That's where he needs to take it down a notch and have that practical mindset.
So how would you answer that? What would be your guess?
Would he take advice?
Yeah. Whoever fill-in-the-blank person would be.
I think it really depends on who it is.
Well, okay.
Prime example. If tomorrow they announce, John Robinson says, we've hired Urban Meyer as a consultant, as a head coaching consultant, yes, he'd listen to him.
He would.
I think he would.
If he says, hey.
In the NFL?
I'm just using him as an example
of somebody that
he's worked with. And that he respects.
But not in the NFL.
Well, like, okay.
Bill Cowher.
And he says, hey, Mike, challenge it. You think he's like, challenge.
I think he thinks about it.
But what you do, like anybody else, is you go back and evaluate yourself after it's happened, right?
I think one of those guys would help him evaluate.
That's why I was hoping today's answer might have been a little different than it was right after the game last night. So the other – I guess newsworthy thing, he was asked, are you considering changes at quarterback? And he said no. But he did say
not at this present time.
Not right now.
He was basically saying today, no.
And also he admitted,
he said, listen, Marcus Mariota competed hard. He made some good throws, but there's other stuff that he could do better. I think that's an accurate assessment. Yeah. He's being fair. He's not throwing him under the bus. And I think he was very careful not to throw his offensive line under the bus. I mean, Jahmyr Douglas is who he is, right? He was the third string, maybe fourth guy that you were hoping would end up being your starting right guard.
At Brett Caffey says, I loved him going for it. What was 3 points going to do for us at that point? If you don't get it, you have them backed up. This isn't field goal Fisher pro football anymore, for better or worse.
No, I disagree.
That matters if you get a three and out there, and they did not, and they gave up a field goal of their own.
If it's fourth and one, or even fourth and two, I can see it. Not fourth and six.
Because fourth and six, I don't really consider that manageable. That's
tough.
That's fourth and six
from the 11. Yeah. A team that hasn't put any points on the board.
You don't have to defend. You don't have to defend the long play, right? So there's... It's easier. It's tight space.
It's a short, tight field.
You've been so inconsistent all night long, and you finally had a drive.
You struggled all year on third down.
Right.
So it's just you're going against the Jacksonville defense, which is talented. It's tough.
And just so people know, we felt this way at the time. This is not a reaction of, well, now that we know, because we've done this before. We've said, hey. Even knowing I'm okay, because we'd just be honest with you. We would out there listen. I'm telling you, the three of us, we said bad idea from the get-go. Yeah. Even knowing what we know today, this is not about knowing playing couch coach today now that we've seen the results and we see what happens. It's not about that. We're just being honest and saying at the time, shaking our head and saying, can't do that. Got it. You have to, in that spot, take the three. You have to. It's not about being field goal fisher anymore. It's about saying, right, you got to put points on the board at some point.
Because what do putting points on the board do for a team like that's been struggling? Like, hey, all right, we're on the board. We're chipping away.
All right, let's go.
Especially, you're going against Jacksonville. They're not going to roll up 35 points. If you're playing Peyton Manning and a team that's going to roll up, then I can see the attitude. We're not going to beat them with field goals. Jacksonville, you chip away. You could win the game 16-14.
We'll come back with You Just Made the List. That's next on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. It's time for you to release. Release whatever you've been holding on to all week. Something that has made you mad. Someone who has made you angry. Tell us who or what it is. The best one will win a pair of tickets to see Deep Purple for their farewell tour at TPAC on Monday, September 30th. So at the end of the month at TPAC, a really cool show, a farewell tour of Deep Purple. That's what's on the line, but you have to jump in there and tell us who or what is on your list. 615-737-1025, 737-1025. Who wants to get started? Anybody feeling?
I'll go.
Anybody feeling?
I'm ready.
Snippy today?
I'm ready. And I almost changed this morning because this lady cut me off at Starbucks and then was driving down a lane that wasn't.
Maybe you need to pick a new coffee house or shop.
I think I do.
Because you're having a lot of things happen.
Well, I ended up not going because the line was all wrapped around. But anyway, so last week, NASCAR opened their playoffs at Las Vegas. Kyle Busch, and Darren, you know from doing a racing show from so many years, Kyle Busch is a little outspoken at times, gets a little angry. So he ends up finishing 19th, had a rough day, and he plowed into the back of a lapped car and then wanted to get all mad about that. So afterwards, he does the interview with NBC. He's ticked off there, and then he has a media scrum, and this is what that sounded like.
What happened there with the 53 there late?
52, get it right. Don't know.
How did that impact your car?
Killed it.
What did you think? Were you happy that you were able to come back after the early damage?
Nope. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Here. How about the heat? What effect?
It's all great.
No fine out there the whole time?
Any thoughts that you're going to a place where you won last year at Richmond?
Nope, can't pass there.
You feel okay about your chances overall?
Don't care.
Is it helping you at all that you have the bonus points coming in here coming out of this race?
Just here so I don't get fined.
You feel like if you had been able to get the top 10,
answering the dumbest questions over and over again. Am I good?
So that's Kyle Busch.
People on Marshawn Lynch?
He did. And Marshawn Lynch was at the race.
And Drew Rosenhaus and some of the other press comments is kind of like,
right.
Next question.
Right. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Then he turns around and he says to his PR person, I'm answering the dumbest
questions.
So here's the deal. Kyle, listen, I've never been like a huge Kyle Busch fan as a race fan, but I like that he has personality because I think that's something that sport needs. They need personalities. They need people that are going to get you watching. You know, they had it back in the day with Earnhardt and Waltrip and Stewart and you know, Jeff Gordon even had some personality. So that part's fine. But dude, it's not the media's fault that you had a bad day and then you made a dumb decision by running over a lapped car and then he wants to go on a tirade that, you know, these types of teams shouldn't be running and these young drivers that are trying to get an opportunity, they shouldn't be there. Like, come on, man. Not everybody has had everything handed to them like you have. So Kyle Busch, for that,
You just made the list.
Has he had everything handed to him?
I mean, he had a pretty easy going. I mean,
he was pretty good.
I mean, well, he's also good.
He's always been good out of the gates. I mean, he kind of
he didn't have to run for these start and park teams. He ran for Roush, and then he ran for Hendrick, and then Joe Gibbs. Yeah, he's talented, but not everybody gets to do that. Not everybody has an older brother that was a series champion. Okay. So
I'll be brief with two quick ones. First on the list, the referee that's looking right at Kamalai Correa coming around, who makes a perfect textbook how you're trying to teach in this day and age of how you hit the quarterback, and calls him for roughing the passer. Come on. Got to be better than that. And then also, this is 2.0, a one I used last year. Marcus Mariota has been in the league for 5 years. All night long, the NFL Network guys, it's Mariota. It's not hard. Why does this happen? I can see slipping up every now and then, but there's some people that, and it's not just those guys. I flipped on the satellite radio this morning. The guys are Mariota. Get the guy's name right.
You just made the list.
Bayard is an all-pro, and they still say Bayard.
I didn't hear that last night. But the quarterback is one. You're going to say the guy's name a lot, whether he plays good, bad. Get it right.
Okay.
You got all week. You're doing one game.
Get it right. You got one job.
Well, you got one game.
Get the names right.
You're not doing a game on Tuesday, a game on Thursday, a game on Saturday. You're doing a game on one night a week. It's the quarterback. Maybe check if you're not sure.
I'm going to gear mine toward penalties. College, I've expressed this a little bit this week. The targeting, ejections, I'm all for safety, but it's just, man, it's really hurting a lot of games. It really does. And I thought this was supposed to be for really, really egregious plays, plays where players are trying to take people's heads off and or almost intent to hurt. Not plays that are, you know, look completely like they're what you want them to do. It's not Matrix. You can't stop in midair, contort your body one way and get out of the way. Or a guy gets turned around by another defender into you and you get a target. I mean, come on, man. That's not what the rules are for. They're really hurting and hampering a lot of games. And on the NFL side, can we, you know, they read the Tom Brady tweet. He's turning the Titans and Jags up. There's too many penalties. We saw the plethora of penalties in Cleveland. Holding calls are up 64%
that is
in the NFL. 64%. Not 6.4%. Not 16.4%. 64% holding calls are up.
Tom Brady's got a point.
I mean, it's also making it tough to watch. Can you let them just play a little? Can you let them play?
You just made the list.
If it's a penalty, I get it. If it's really bad, like people getting pulled down, those are holding calls. Like last night, those are holding calls.
A couple of them were. A couple of them I did not agree.
Some of them I agree. Yeah. But let 64%. Come on.
If you got to look for the hold on the replay and you're not sure you're seeing it, then come on.
That's too much.
I guess it's true what they say. There's a hold on every play, according to these officials.
Yeah. Well, let's let some of them go. Okay? Let's 64% up. That's
and you know what? Maybe something changes because Brady said something.
Maybe.
You know, when the GOAT speaks, you listen.
We've got loaded lines. We'll come back and finish up the hour with your phone calls. We do that next. Pair of tickets to see Deep Purple Farewell Tour at TPAC Monday, September 30th. That's what's on the line. Loaded lines. Let's find out who or what has made you mad. You know what? That makes me mad. Let's go to Curtis in Franklin. Who or what's on your list?
Oh, you're so weird.
You know, I am actually putting 90% of all the people that called in today and everybody but probably Chase on my list today.
Oh, okay. He wins.
You know, after all this, you still have all these excuses for Mariota. Even the, you know, wait till the tackle comes back. Well, he's missed 3 games, not 4 years. You know, this isn't new. It isn't surprising. And, you know, I'm used to Willie and Jared, you know. I'm pretty sure they stay up at night writing in their Marcus Mariota journals about excuses for him. But now it's like everybody is still doing it. You know, and you're like, well, who are y'all going to get to replace him? It's not hard to find a quarterback that can throw 11 touchdowns a year. That's not hard. I mean, backups come in and throw 11 touchdowns a year. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't pay $20, $25 million a year for a quarterback who you have to say, well, we can win if everything else is perfect. If one thing goes wrong, we're going to lose. We're at $25 million a year at one player or more. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to go wrong. Thank you.
Well, if you're putting me on the list for that, then you obviously, brother, don't listen to this show. Because I haven't been making excuses to him for years on this show. So.
Well, I have stopped short of saying sign him to a new contract. I think the jury's out. But I think that's a question.
If you're lumping me in that group, I'd say, Curtis, you need to listen to the show a little bit more because I've been saying this for years, even when it was very, very unpopular. Let's go to Barrett down in the borough. Barrett, what's up?
You tell him, Darren. Just for old
time's sake,
let's make sure, let's make sure Stillman gets on the list for sure. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
You just made the list.
There you go.
And look, this is dead serious. It's not funny. A lot of times I try to be funny, but I am dead serious with this one. The entire game day experience people with the Tennessee Titans are on the list. I've heard you guys for years complain about the game day experience, but this last weekend just took the cake. Within 15 minutes of them almost killing people with their little flame balls, I was getting messages from three separate continents from entertainment professionals saying, what in the holy bleep are you guys doing down there in Nashville? That is just an international humiliation. This is Music City, USA. We have some of the most talented production people on the planet Earth. They go all around the globe. They put on extravagant production. I've done pyro. I've been on Firewatch 100 times. And whoever that clown was with the fire extinguisher had absolutely no clue what to do. I'm watching them cover it Sunday night, and Lehman goes, oh, they extinguished it quickly. No, they didn't. That thing just spent its fuel. They're called flame projectors, and they're insanely dangerous, and they throw huge balls of fire, and it just flopped right off the speaker and laid on the ground. If it fell off on the other side, you're scorching the field of play. Say Chase is standing there doing a stand-up with Steve Lehman, and his back is to the field, and they're doing, here come the players, and that thing fell. It would have ruined their life if it didn't kill them. It's half-assed. It's completely amateur. It's sophomoric. It's a humiliation. Step up your game, you crummy Titans.
You just made the list.
All right, Barrett. Thanks, you. Barrett. By the way, the league has come out and said, for now, they're putting a brief ban on pyrotechnics.
I don't think it's a bad move.
Out on the field.
That could have been bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As Adam Archuleta said, he's trying to sort of make a little bit of light of it. He goes, that was not a small fire.
No.
And the NFL has responded.
Full marks. They reacted quickly and they put it out quick. That's good. But sometimes, I mean, that's dangerous.
Yep.
It's dangerous.
So I don't know if people saw that, but there has been a brief ban on that currently in the league.
I did see the GIF, and I was one that tweeted it last night, but the GIF of the field on fire made its way around Twitter.
737-1025, 615-737-1025. We've got a couple lines available now. Let's go to Adam up in Portland. Adam, what's up?
What's up, buddy? You know, side note, this is not mine, but I'm section 139. I was right in front of that fire. Whack. That was crazy, man.
Were you in your seats at the time?
Yeah, me and my daddy both were. He had never been there. God, I got a good one today, too. All right, he had never been there, and flames were coming out. We were feeling the heat, and it's the first home game, and he's like, man, that's really awesome. And I swear to you, it was like 30 seconds later that happened, and he's like, is it supposed to do that? I'm like, no, it's not supposed to do that. That's bad. And so, coincidentally, like 2 minutes later, they were doing the in case of an emergency evacuation thing over the thing. So I thought that was funny too. But all right, so my list, man, this week, I'm kind of a fat guy. I can admit it. I'm fine with that. I'm married. I ain't trying to impress anybody, but I want to get a little healthier, 32. And so I ordered a bunch of like online meals that are, you know, they've already counted everything for you. You just got to eat the food. I want to put KFC on the list. And the reason for that is because I am scrolling today and they now have a chicken sandwich that's wrapped in donuts for buns. And it looks, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm hungry, but it looks so good to me, man. And I can't eat it. I know I can't, but it just that's the hardest thing to look at today.
You just made the list.
I've seen Adam. I've seen
Adam, real quick before you hang up, I almost have to put you on the list because you almost caused a five-car pileup the other day with your call to Jared saying he is just like Jalen Ramsey. I about wrecked my car. I was laughing so hard.
100%, buddy. I'm glad you're listening, man. That makes me feel good. Hell yeah.
Always.
Well, you made a promo.
You did make a promo.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yep.
Have you guys seen this, what he's talking about? This chicken sandwich at KFC? But, the bun is a donut.
I like donuts. I like chicken.
Donuts, top and bottom.
I don't like them together.
I can't. I couldn't do
and,
that.
And I know that
like, I love chicken and donuts, but no.
There's like a...
That's a no.
No, I didn't think I'd like chicken and waffles, and I like chicken and waffles. But, you know, I've seen this phenomenon of using a donut as a bun for meats, and I can't get on board
like this
with
is not a good, I'm sorry. At some point, don't we have to go, Willie, you're like the one who's always preaching about, you know, can't have casinos, people just can't control themselves. Can't do this because people just can't control themselves. Why aren't you up on the table screaming at KFC, like, you can't do this. People can't control themselves. This is bad.
The horse is way out of the barn.
Well, duh.
I mean, it all went out the window. The cheer. Who were we talking about? The model that had the big, like, 7-layer hamburger, like, you know, triple burger with, like,
yeah,
like she's eating those a lot.
The Hardee's,
we've had a lot of. The gluttony has gone way off the deep end a long time ago.
Like I got it looks good, but I got to say no to that.
You got to say no.
I can't do that. Doug, who or what's on your list?
In response to the announcers calling him Mariota, I have to say, man, until he gets himself out of the sewer section of the quarterbacks in the NFL, Mariota, he don't even make fantasy league. But that's not what's on my list. But I've got to tell you, they're not going to get his name right till he becomes somebody. But what's on my list is anybody who saw the Titans last year, the preseason, last couple of games. Is there anything new? Is this catching you by surprise? He threw interceptions last year. The coach made bad decisions last year. The O-line didn't block last year. They don't run Henry like they should. So nothing about this catches me by surprise. If you're upset, just now getting upset over what you see on the field the last three games, you make my list. This doesn't catch me by surprise.
Okay. All right.
You just made the list.
Thanks as always. And finally, Jake in Brentwood. Final caller for You Just Made the List.
Hi, I'd like to preface this, just letting you guys know that I'm a transplant from Detroit, so I've been through those Joey Harrington years, and that makes me want to put the Tennessee Titan fans that have been calling all day going for Mariota's head on the list today.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, the scheme that the Titans are running right now with the run first, play action, he's done pretty much what he's asked. He hasn't turned the ball over, he's made the passes, he's got 700 yards for 4 touchdowns in the past 3 games with no turnovers. I mean, being sacked, I mean, there might be something he can do on a couple of those plays, but I wouldn't give Tom Brady any flack for not playing as well when he's getting hit pretty much every other play. But mainly just the fact that I've watched the Detroit Lions be so bad for so long and have little spurts of increase, and I've watched the Titans almost every year get better, in quotations, because the league also has gotten better. So to me, it just, I guess, kind of look at where you came from, stay humble. I guess that's...
How long have you been here?
I've been here for 4 years.
4 years, okay. All right. Thank you, Jake. Really appreciate it.
You just made the list.
Yes, you have seen a lot of bad football up in Detroit. No doubt about it. All right, we will pick a winner. We'll come back and pick some games. Pick 6 to kick off the 4th and final hour. That's next.